so happy to be with you, and so grateful for each of you that listens. It's not something I ever expect. I often joke around with people and say, when I first went on the air 14 years ago, I thought, with Open Line, I thought, the only one that will ever listen is my wife. So, and Eva does listen, but there are others who are listening. I'm really grateful for each of you. And I'm grateful for each of you that calls. So we're going to talk to Hama, who is calling from Tarrytown, Florida, 91.1 FM, listening there. Welcome to Open Line, Hama. How can I help you?
Hi, I just have a question.
Tell me what high school you go to. I see you have a high school teacher. Yeah.
Yes, I do. So I'm at a Pretty Simple Christian Academy in Groveland, Florida. I've been growing there since I was in the sixth grade. I play volleyball and basketball there. My team actually won states last year in volleyball.
Great.
And yeah.
What year are you? So, junior, senior? What are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Next year.
Do you have a favorite subject?
Well, right now I'm doing well at SEU right now. So right now I think my favorite subject in college right now is probably literature.
Literature. Excellent. Yeah. I love literature too. I think that's wonderful. Do you have an all time favorite book so far?
Normally, my dad would have me read, like, the Boxcar Children series.
I love the Boxcars, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have a whole series of the books, and I just love reading them. So, that's what I'm able to read.
So, my favorite all-time books are The Lord of the Rings. And
oh, yeah, those are good.
I read them out loud to my son when he was your age. Mm-hmm. And they became his favorite book as well. The three of them. I just think, that's great. Do you still read out loud with your family?
I do, yes. With that's my siblings, good. Sometimes because I have two younger siblings who are 5 and 3. So normally they'll just bring me books for them to read. I'm like, okay, I'll read them to you.
That's
so
great.
I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I read books too. I still read books to my son. He's fully adult now. He reads to me as well. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, well, go ahead with your question.
Okay, so we took this course, the Rebecca Bible Doctrine, and we were talking about the end times. If I'm pronouncing it right, like eschatology.
Yep.
And so we took that course, and I had asked her, well, during the tribulation, would the parents who are unsaved, will their children go up to heaven? And she had told me, well, they won't because their parents are not saved, but had asked her, what about the age of innocence? And she told me, well, in the Bible, it talks about how children will be present during the tribulation. So I was just curious to see if that's true, and why would it, and if it is, why would God keep the kids who are still in the age of innocence during the tribulation?
I just wanted to say, I am going to plead agnostic on this. And here's why. It's going beyond, in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians not to go beyond that which is written. And there are a lot of questions that we have that the Bible just doesn't address. And the Bible doesn't address what happens to children in the rapture. You know, it just doesn't address it. And just because there's children in the tribulation, I'm not sure what verse your teacher is using for that, but I'm sure there must be. If there are, they could have been born in the tribulation. And so the Bible just doesn't address what will happen to the children of believers at the rapture. It doesn't address what will happen to the children of people who are not followers of Jesus yet. It just doesn't address it. And so I don't know that anyone can speak categorically. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. That's what I'm going to do. So, and here's the main thing I remember to remind myself of, what Abraham said to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And the answer is yes, he will do what is right. And so whatever God does in that circumstance will be just and right and true, and I trust his character I trust his justice at that time. He'll do what's exactly right. And I think that's, there's some things that it's okay to plead ignorance or agnosticism on when the Bible doesn't speak to it. Here's what Deuteronomy 29:29, this is my, most people don't know, I consider this the theme verse for Open Line. Here's what it says. The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this instruction. This is Deuteronomy 29:29. It's talking about what God has revealed, we know, and we should study it and live by it. But if he hasn't revealed something, then we don't need to speculate about it. Does that help you, Emma?
Yes, that did. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye. We're going to talk with Mike in Chicago, listening on WMBI. Welcome to Open Line, Mike. How can I help you?
Thank you, Dr. Ed. My question is concerning Revelation 20, verse 6. It goes back to the discussion you had last hour about the resurrection. And my question is, it says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection, over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. And it kind of answers my question. My question is, they will be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. What exactly will they be doing, these people, during 1,000 years? Peace.
Worshiping God, leading in worship, I guess. Those of Israel, who I believe are Old Testament saints, so to speak, and to be these Old Testament saints of Israel, were called to be a nation of priests. And I believe that Israel will fulfill that calling
in the
millennium for the 1,000 years. That's why it says in Zechariah 8:23, it says, 10 Gentiles will press the garment of the Jew and say, let us go with you, for God is in your midst. They will mediate the knowledge of God and nations during that millennium. And I think every person who has been resurrected will be involved in some sort of millennial worship.
There will be some who will be preaching the gospel, I'm sure. And the reason is that there will be people entering the millennium that have not yet been resurrected. The judgment of the nations has people who have not died yet,
and the reason is that there will be people entering the
Gentiles who will enter the kingdom
not yet been resurrected. The judgment of the nations.
I'm Gordon in Plant City. I'd like to ask Michael whether my answer, I think I can answer one of the caller's questions that he didn't know. I'd like to ask Michael whether my answer is correct, because I found a Bible verse, two Bible verses actually, that do answer that one caller's question about the babies that could or could not get raptured. So here are the two Bible verses. One of them is that you have to have faith to be saved. So the babies didn't have faith, they're not saved, but God is just, so they're not lost. The other Bible verse is Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die and thereafter the judgment. But the Greek word is krisis, not kremen. So it's a process or non-final judgment. And since we know from another passage that God is just every bit as just as people, if a human judge can issue a non-final judgment and hold the babies over until the millennium, now it's not guaranteed, but it's not prohibited. A lot of preachers, my friend, have said it's appointed unto man once to die thereafter the judgment, and that God has to enter a final judgment. But the Greek word there is not kremen. Hebrews 6:2 uses that. The writer of Hebrews could use that verse. So the baby is neither saved nor lost, but God will issue a just judgment, which is could be anything, and could be held over until the millennium. So the point is that people that are worried about this, and here's the thing, a lot of women have been documented to have killed their kids because some trusted preacher said, well, he told me that the kid is guaranteed entry into heaven and guaranteed salvation. But by using the proper Greek translation, looking at the actual Greek, see what the word really says, the King James has a good translation. It doesn't say final judgment, but the King James is kind of clunky. By using the actual Greek, you can say lies, okay? The woman cannot force the kid to get a shortcut. There's no guaranteed shortcut. But he's not going to go to hell either. He's going to get held over. Even if we don't know the details, you can't get saved without faith. That's the one verse. But the other verse is that cremen is not used. Croesus is used. It's appointed unto the man wants to die, and thereafter the judgment, a process, an investigation. It could be a non-final judgment. Isn't God every bit as fair as a regular judge? Isn't he every bit as smart? If a regular judge can do a non-final judgment and move the date forward, like, you know, the test date is moved forward because of a hurricane, the judge says move the date forward. Isn't God ever been able? I want to round that by Michael. It's kind of hard, but he can handle it. And if he can't, then I'll help him out afterwards. But in any event, I have verses that actually do say the answer to that. He's told me before this kind of hard, but he might. If he doesn't want to take it, listen, if you don't want to take it, just say there's no hard feelings, but I want to give him a chance because I like Michael.
Did anyone talk with you when you were at this Bible study?
No, it's not a comment, it's a question. My question is my answer correct or not? Am I interpreting the scripture correct or not to say that the kid is neither saved nor lost, based on the one scripture that he can't be saved without faith, but the other one is that God is just and he won't be lost. Yeah. So that's my question. Is my interpretation? Now, do you understand what I'm saying? You got the Greek distinction, because there's two words for judgment. One is final and one is non-final.
And then it says, all the nations, all the Gentile nations will be gathered before him.
Got it. And he will separate. Tell Michael, thank you for at least trying, even if you don't take it. I love Michael, and so do you.
At the end of the tribulation, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then the basis of their judgment is, what did they do in the tribulation period?
Brothers of the Lord Jesus.
When they, in terms of how they dealt with the least of these
Jewish
brothers
people,
of mine.
What he is doing,
who are they?
Is he is judging the nations based on their treatment of Jewish
Jesus.
People during the tribulation, a time of increased hatred of Jewish people.
It's the Jewish people.
Persecution
what he is
of the
doing
people,
is he's
and when
judging
they're hungry, they
the nations based on their treatment of Jewish people during the tribulation, a time of increased hatred of Jewish people.
Persecution
of the Jewish people, and when they're hungry,
brothers,
they gave something to eat. When
they
were thirsty,
how
they
treated Jewish people. So back to your question.
They were thirsty.
I believe that these
drink,
people
so
were
forth.
Saying they knew the Lord.
They, said,
they
well,
were
we
believers.
Did you did it to
and
the least
they
of
carried
these
out that
brothers.
He's
talking about how they treated the Jewish people. So back to your question.
God's
I believe
commands
that
about
these people were saved.
The
they
people.
Knew the Lord. They were
and
believers.
So that was the expression of their
and
faith.
They carried out that. They lived out their faith.
God's grace
by,
in their faith. That
being
is
faithful
how it works.
To God's
I
commands
that
about
clarifies
caring
it.
For the
I
Jewish
appreciate
people.
It.
And so
we're
going to
come back in just a moment
faith, the,
with more of your questions
Jesus.
Right here on
God's grace.
Now back coming up straight ahead. Stay with us.
I hope that clarifies it for you, Ryan. I appreciate it. We're going to come back in just a moment with more of your questions right here on Open Line. Mailbag's coming up straight ahead. Stay with us.
Open the Bible with Collinson.
Moody Radio is thankful for support from our listeners
like
and businesses like Morrow Insurance Group, who shares this name first for today.
Back.
From Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Morrow Insurance Group is an independent insurance agency for businesses, churches, financial, and personal coverage. More information is online at MorrowInsurance.net. That's MorrowInsurance.net or 813-963-1669.
A century, one act. Here's a Moody Radio name you should know.
Henry Paul Cole was born in 1887
now
in Chicago. He grew up to serve in the Navy in World War I. Eventually, God called Mr. Paul to his service at Moody Bible Institute.
He was
a vice president and general manager in a career that spanned more than 40 years. And
of
course, former
at the
World Vision, he helped launch the science
program,
as well as mediate the
Christian
ministry.
Testament and New Testament. stories
are these
of
considered actual
what we
resurrection?
Would call resurrection. So
the well, I think they were physically
the
resurrected. You know, Lazarus was really
life.
Raised
Jairus
from the dead.
Daughter in the New Testament, Lazarus, Jesus' friend.
The daughter of Jairus was really raised from the dead. So was the widow of Zarephath.
Well, I think they were physically resurrected.
There's
you
no
know,
question
was really raised
that these are resurrections from the dead, but they are not resurrections.
The daughter of Jairus was really raised
that's
from
the
dead.
Limitation
so
was, of it. Because
the
very first resurrection with a glorified
no
immortal body was the Lord
these
Jesus
are
resurrections himself. That's
dead,
why
1 Corinthians 15
is called the first fruits
immortality.
Of the resurrection.
That's the limitation.
What do I mean
because
that's
very
like
first
different?
Resurrection
well, anyone resurrected like Lazarus,
body
this is the bad news
himself.
For Lazarus. He would have to die again.
He is called the
yes.
first fruits of the resurrection.
And then one day, again,
different
being resurrected. Same with all those other resurrections.
Like
but the Lord Jesus was
this
resurrected,
like
never to die again,
he would have to die
with
again.
An immortal body. And that is the ultimate
yeah.
resurrection
and,
that we will
and,
experience
then
when we
one
put
day,
our trust
again,
okay, and so
same
with the same people then who
but the Lord Jesus was resurrected never to die again.
It's mentioned in Matthew 27 as death, but it seems to say that
okay,
the graves opened
the people then
and they
who,
came out
the graves,
at his resurrection.
Okay. At Jesus
and remember the
death,
that they
the theological explanation
in Matthew 27 as death.
I don't
but it seems
I've said
to say
a lot of
that the graves opened.
This is very high level theology.
Okay.
It was a super duper person of resurrection power. Yes.
And
that when the Messiah was resurrected,
again,
kind of brought
why that happened.
Old
I don't know.
Testament
I've said
it
a lot of times on the radio.
Along.
It was this is
but
very high level theology.
Those people also would
theology.
Need to die again.
Super
they were not resurrected. What it was like
yes.
to be one of them.
Was
wait, I'm here. No, I gotta go back. What?
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Also
so,
yeah.
I'm think of the testimony.
They were not
that's why they went back. But I'll yeah. tell you what, if I was in the presence of the
here?
Lord,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to
go back.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, okay. Well, thank
yeah.
you for that.
I
think
I
sometimes
imagine.
That can cause confusion.
So.
Yeah.
For the
people
sake of
say,
the testimony,
well, no, it wasn't
that's
a real resurrection.
Happened.
But it's like,
I'll
but
tell you
they
what,
were alive again.
Was
yeah, they were dead. Dead. They were alive again. Yeah. But
yeah.
They're not
yeah.
not
okay.
real
well, thank you for that.
All right.
I think
thank you for that question, Robert. Our next question
say,
is from Brian,
no,
who is currently studying the book
like,
of Joel.
They were
and
it
was
pleasantly
surprising
yeah,
to see that you had written the Joel commentary.
We
have a commentary. Yeah, me too. I was surprised.
Our next question
oh,
is
yeah,
from Brian, who is currently studying
so,
the book
of Joel. You an
and was pleasantly
to
surprised to see that you had written the Joel commentary.
He wants to know,
commentary.
Are the locust plagues and the drought described in Joel to be understood
that.
As actual
oh, yeah,
historical
yeah.
events that occurred in Judah?
So,
or are they
an
symbolic?
Person to ask
and do they represent a future event like the Babylonian invasion or something associated with the day of the Lord?
To be understood as actual historical events
my understanding of it is that something can be literal
and
symbolic at the same
and do they represent a future event?
And
like
what I mean by that
invasion
is
or something associated with
I think
the
there really was
Lord.
A locust plague. And
my
the prophet Joel
it is
uses
that,
that
can be
as imagery,
and
as
at the same time.
A picture of what will happen
and what I
yet
mean by
in
that
the future
is this,
of the
I think there really was a locust
that
plague.
Would come.
And the
it really points
Joel
mostly
uses that
towards the
as
end
imagery,
of days,
as
the
a picture of what will happen yet in the future
that will be there.
Of
so
the invasion.
That's why the theme
and
of the book
it
of
really
Joel
points
is the day of the Lord.
Towards the end of
and
days, the judgment
the locust
come,
plague that happened
and then,
becomes a picture of a future day of the Lord.
So
is it literal? Yes.
Of
is it symbolic?
Yes. The day of the Lord.
Symbolic of
that
future.
The locust plague
is that
happened,
true of
becomes
all
a picture
biblical
of a future day of the Lord.
Or,
so it is, it's a,
or
is it
literal?
It,
yeah,
it
kind of depends on,
yes.
on what also, we're reading and which one it is.
That future
that's a good question, because
a
lot of people want to make everything symbolic,
prophecy,
but I would only say if the author intended us to read
kind of
it that way,
on,
like Joel really intended us
in which
to read
it
that way.
That's a good question, because a lot of people want to make everything
sometimes can use it as an illustration.
The
intended that's what Paul
to read
does,
it
for example,
but
with Hagar
really
and Sarah in the
to
book of
that way. And
he
we
says this is illustrative
as an illustration. That's what Paul does, for example,
Mount Zion
with Hagar
and
Sarah in the book
and
of Galatians.
What he's talking about
he,
is that there's works versus
he says
righteousness.
This is illustrative.
It's illustrative of that. But there really was a Hagar.
Mount Zion,
there really was
and,
a Sarah.
that should be taken literally. And sometimes we use it as an illustration, but I think mostly when I'm looking at a text, like Joel, I want to read it as the author intended. And sometimes it'll be something that the author will say, yes, this is sort of demonstrative of a future event. And that's literal
symbolic.
Okay,
I mean,
really happened.
And sometimes it'll be something that the author will say, yes, this is sort of demonstrative
of
yet a future event.
And it's prophecy, so it's not clear always. But does the author,
really
how does the author make that clear that it overall ended?
Well, we have to read like as we would any bit of in this sense, every kind of literature.
Author,
you read it and it becomes clear.
How does the
you know,
author make that
way
clear that it is
the,
intended?
I would
read,
say,
like, as we would any bit of
fiction,
in this sense,
every
kind of literature,
hair.
You read it and it becomes clear, you know, because of the way he's using
lightning bolt
the events. I would say,
destroys a tree, if I remember Jane Eyre
this
correctly,
is fiction,
and that foreshadows the breaking of the relationship that will happen the very next day.
There was the lightning bolt that I think destroys a tree, if I remember Jane Eyre correctly, and that foreshadows the breaking of the relationship that will happen the very next day.
In that story, was there really
the day
a lightning bolt striking a tree? Yes.
And then you've got this lightning bolt.
Is it foreshadowing something that happens
is broken
in the next chapter
before they can marry?
Yes.
So
that's, I think, how
that
we
story,
use scripture
really
in the next chapter.
A tree? Yes.
Say, oh, this foreshadowed that.
Is it foreshadowing something that happens in the next chapter?
Basically.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's, I think, how we need to read
and understanding
it
as literature in addition to it really happening.
That.
But it is written as literature.
It's not written just like a fact book.
Okay.
You know, it's written with artistry.
And
it's why we have to understand to
in
read
to it really
what the author
is written
say.
As literature.
I'll give you another example. When Jesus goes out to betray the Lord,
you know,
the Gospel of John says, and it was night.
Yeah,
it was night. I think it's literally true. It wasn't just
the
time mentioned,
to say,
but it also, in
another
the
example,
book, in
the
Gospel of John,
we've got the Lord, the Gospel of John
theme
says,
of light versus
and
darkness. And
yeah,
the dark
night.
Night.
I think it's literally true. It wasn't just
a
time mentioned.
Betrayed
but also in the book in the Gospel of John we've got
night,
this
and then where sensitive readers will say
and this is the
literally night and also
the Son of Perdition out to betray the Son of God.
Yeah, and
so,
and I think the other thing that can help us with these prophetic books
sensitive readers
is
will say,
the like Brian mentioned the Moody Bible commentary. If they're Bible study tools that we can use it as like an
and I think the
like,
other thing
what is he talking about? Are these real locusts? Are they,
the,
you know, what is happening?
That
you can consult those tools that you have, like
the
Bible commentary,
that
can kind of give a little bit more historical background and things on what were happening that you may not pick up just by reading the book
or pick up the literary nuances
that
the author intended us to pick up.
That you might be in the Hebrew or in the Greek, you know, that you're not going to see.
Things on what were happening that you may not pick up.
Anyway, appreciate that. Appreciate the questions people are asking. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls in just a moment with your questions about the Bible, God, and spiritual life. So thankful for you, Tricia. Thank you. That's Tricia McMillan who put the mail back together. I'm Michael Radelman. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Romans 12:9 should be the marching orders and the standard for all believers. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Here it is. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's it. Make sure your love is authentic. In other words, don't be a phony. Mean what you say. No hypocrisy, no lie. Mark Twain was once asked, what's the difference between a liar and a person who tells the truth? He answered, well, very simple. A liar has to have a better memory. When you're a hypocrite, you need a good memory. You need to remember what you said here and what you said over there. When you tell the truth, however,
You don't have to remember anything. You just simply keep telling the truth. Love without hypocrisy. Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org. This is Max McLean. How should we live as we wait for the Lord's return? Listen to the Bible from 2 Peter 3. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace. Our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From 2 Peter 3, listen to the Bible. It's glory for the soul.
To hear more, go to radiobible.org. And join us Monday for Carlin Crew right here on Moody Radio.
Hey, friends. Michael here. I'm sure you recognize that we're having some technical difficulties, and I'm so sorry for that, but we're going to get it straightened out as fast as we can. Till then, I wanted to encourage you to check out our website, openlineradio.org. That website has so many items that you'll find helpful. For example, you can find our current resource. You can see about how to become a kitchen table partner. You can even see the free Chosen People Ministries gift and how you can obtain it by clicking on it. At the bottom of the website, you scroll down and it says a free gift from Chosen People, and you can get that. There are all sorts of other good things. There's bios. There's a link to my personal webpage. There's so many things on that page that I think you'll find helpful and some good resources, and I hope you'll check it out. OpenLineRadio.org. Hopefully, our difficulties are straightened out now. We'll go back to our regular programming. Well, here we are once again. I'm Max. So glad that you stuck with me during the technical difficulties. We're going to go right to the phones now to see how many of you we can get in before the end of the program. This is Michael Riddell. If you're listening to Open Line, we're going to talk to Elizabeth in Miami, Florida, online, listening online. Welcome to Open Line, Elizabeth. How can I help you today?
Yes, good morning. I understand that the Jews today, the non-complete Jews in Israel, are basing their beliefs on old traditions and old stories, not on Jesus. In other words, how do they believe their sins are being forgiven today and they can go to heaven when they're not doing blood sacrifices?
Okay, well, I just want to be really clear that all Jewish people, they believe all kinds of things. I mean, you get two Jews together, you get three, four, or five opinions. I mean, it's very varied. And so here's what the basic explanation of Jewish understanding is. After the temple was destroyed, and this is mainstream Judaism, after the temple was destroyed, there was no other means of sacrifice. And so, therefore, there was a rabbi by the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He restructured Judaism to believe that sins are forgiven based on deeds of righteousness, prayer, and repentance. So prayer, repentance, deeds of righteousness, or good works, those are the basis that God will decide. It is God's grace, yes, by prayer, repentance, and deeds. Okay? That's what they believe in.
Good works. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. I'm not saying they're right, but that's what they think. We're going to talk to Joy in Stuart, Florida, listening online. Welcome to Open Line, Joy. How can I help you?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. My question is about the alien files that are being released. I've been hearing from several sources that pastors are being warned to talk to their congregations about what's going to be exposed.
whether it's going to challenge their belief in creation. I wanted to know what your opinion is of this.
I don't have an opinion of it. I think I don't believe any of these. There's no definitive proof of alien life. Their pictures, things like that. I haven't been warned. I just don't think anything of it. Do you think it's a challenge?
Pictures, things like that.
Well, I just wondered how pastors were going to handle it. I've been waiting to hear how some of them would. I personally think if it's anything, it's demons.
Well, yeah, but we don't know. I think we need to focus on what the Bible says, focus on the truth of the word, and not worry about I just don't care about that stuff, to be honest. If I were leading a congregation, I would get up there and say, don't even think about that stuff. It's irrelevant to us.
Well, I'm going to gauge those pastors on that answer. I appreciate your help.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. We're going to talk to Mike in Northwest Angle, Minnesota, listening to KPWH. KPHW, welcome to Open Line, Mike. How can I help you?
Hi, thank you, doctor. Just reading the numbers, my wife and I were looking at the Nazarite ball. They had to stay away from grapes, the grape skin, the grape seeds, the grape seed oil, the meat, the wine, even raisins. What's so significant about grapes in that ball?
Well, there's a couple possibilities. One is that it has to do with taking an abstention from wine, and because it's showing a temporary strict devotion to focus on God. So, and then these other issues of grapes, which, for example, the vinegar that has to be avoided. Someone might say, well, I'm only drinking vinegar, I'm not drinking wine. Well, and then it turns out to be wine. Or I'm just drinking grape juice, but it turns out to be wine. So what they're doing is making a real sharp stand against all grapes. But then again, you've got raisins, that's not, wine by any means. So it leads to a second view that it's not just abstaining from alcoholic wine and the corollaries with it, but also that grapes were symbolic of abundance. For example, when the spies came back, they were carrying those big grapes. Remember the huge amount of grapes that they brought back to show what a prosperous, abundant land it was. And so some say that it's not just abstaining from wine, but also from abundance. It's a way of showing, on a temporary basis, I'm going to abstain from abundance so I can focus on my relationship with God. Okay, Mike?
Yep, I understand that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. We're going to talk to Doug in Wilmington, Indiana, listening on WMBI. Welcome to Open Line, Doug. How can I help you?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Go ahead.
Regarding Exodus 21, verses 22 through 25, a defining phrase has to do with who they're talking about, miscarriage or premature birth. And both are definitions are kind of popular today. For instance, a judge in Indiana just said...
Do you want to just talk about it instead of what that just said? Let's look at the verse.
Well, that's even the other interpretation, and that's that a defining phrase has to do with whether...
Let me just read the verse so people know what we're talking about. But men get into a fight and hit a pregnant woman so that her children are... And literally in Hebrew, so is her children come out. But there is no injury. The one who hit her must be fined, as the woman's husband demands from him, and he must pay according to judicial assessment. So that some take it as come out refers to a miscarriage, and they're saying, look, if the preborn life were considered a full life, then it wouldn't just be a fine, it would be the death penalty. To come out literally means to be born, it's a way of saying to be born prematurely. So what it's saying is, if the baby comes out prematurely, but there's no other injury, then you pay a fine for the premature birth. I think that's what it's saying. But if there is an injury, you must give life for life, eye for eye. So if the premature birth ends in the death of the child, then it's eye for eye, life for life, and so forth. That's how I understand it. So it shouldn't be translated miscarriage. It should be translated born prematurely, as the HCSB does. Well, that's the program for the week. Thanks for listening, everyone, and especially those of you who called and sent me questions. Really appreciate that. Keep in touch with us by going to our website, openlineradio.org. It's got all the links you're looking for. It's the Open Line team I want to thank for their great work today. And I also want to remind you, keep reading the scriptures, and we'll talk about it again next week. Open Line with Dr. Michael A. Hellman is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. See you next week.
Hey, what would be more convenient for me to talk to them off air in a minute or to email it? Because my pastor and I are both confused, and so I'm like really confused. I've talked to my pastor. You know, Michael has said to ask your pastor. He always says that. And I asked him, and the pastor's confused. What would be more convenient for you guys? Can you grab Michael and talk to him for 5 minutes, or you want me to email it? What would be, you make the call. Tell me what works for you.
If
you think it's a little easier to do it that way, I'll send it to you by email, and then that way y'all will have a chance to look it over, and it'll be a little bit easier by email because you can sit down and think about it. That work? Are you Cheyenne that I talked to a few weeks back?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize for the emotion. I didn't mean to offend anyone or anything like that. You know, I want to work with you guys to make it easy, but like I said when we talked last time, that sometimes these preachers say, you know, we don't want you to kill anyone, but if you do, he's guaranteed entry into heaven. And these women are killing children, Cheyenne, and that's not right. I don't think that the Lord can tempt a person like that. I don't know what does happen, but I believe that if a human judge can move the data forward a little bit, the just judge can do every bit of that and more. So if you were to look it up, Hebrews 9:27 uses crisis, an investigation which could mean anything, a non-final judgment, not a crime, not a verdict. So I just figured I would give you the citation again in case you wanted to look it up. To see what's going on. It's the point about a man wants to die thereafter the judgment, not the final judgment. People add to the word sometimes, and that's not what it says. Does that help clarify whether you agree or not? I'm not trying to argue. I just want to make sure that you understood what I was saying in case this comes up later. You know what I'm saying? Was it easy to understand on your end? Okay. Would you like, I'll forward it to you that I did some research. You won't have to give your private email. If you want to throw your email to me, and trust me, I won't spam you. If not, then you can just catch it on the flip-flop and ask Michael later. It's your call. Don't worry about it. No, I don't want to get you in trouble. Keep the private email private. Okay, well listen, just remember one thing. You can't make the maker do anything. You can be fair. Even if it puts the children in the millennium, if he wants to do it, he can do it. And actually, I think that's what happens. But I don't know for sure. All I believe is that it's not prohibited. And if it's not prohibited, you shouldn't say that. You should at least say, I don't know. You should go on and say, but this is not prohibited. Michael is smart, but I want to help him just a little bit more because I like him. Okay, listen, you're probably busy. Unless he wants to talk to me right now, I'll get out of here. If he wants to talk to me, I'll do that. If not, I'll give me a few hours and I'll see if I can email you guys something. Michael's busy right now, is that right?
They call it a
rational. I think he's
on. Okay, got it. Okay. Well, listen, I don't think it'll make any difference, but I'll put in a good word and say you tried real hard and did a good job. So, here's that. Just remember one thing. Jesus beat death. And if that happens, then everything else is child's play. Thanks a lot. I'll see you good one. You have a good week and we're coming.
All right, thank you.
Today, Cubans refer to those years as the quote-unquote special period.
Holy cow. Without Soviet what time is it? Then, what's the date? Apart. I think I'm a time stamp. That was an epic call. Legendary and epic. Let's put a time stamp on the sucker. Now you can't see if it's 11:58 a.m. Eastern time. But what's the date?
Where can the Cuban people turn? Well, if there's a silver lining, it's this.
Thank you for calling the Tampa Bay Area National Weather Service Office. This menu will provide you with recorded forecasts and other weather service office information. Press 0 at any time to hear this menu again. To hear today's forecast, press 1. For the 7-day forecast, press 2. For the 10th. Now for the official National Weather Service forecast issued 1 a.m. Saturday, May 9, 2026 for the KHB32 listening area. For the following counties in Florida, Hillsborough, Pasco, Pinellas, and Pope, including the cities of Newport Richie, Bedford Hills, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, Brandon, and Tampa. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 90s.
Okay, that's all we need to hear here, okay? The forecast was 1 a.m. Saturday, May 9th. So it didn't tell you what time it is. It's almost 12 noon here. But today is Saturday, May 9th, 2026. So for archival and documentation purposes, I just wanted to document that I'm Ward Wayne Watts, editor-in-chief of the Register, wordwatts.com, wordwaynewatts.com, editor, what's it called? National Director of Contract with America, Part 2, contractwithamerica2.com, Register trademark. That I wanted to document the phone call to Open Line Live with Dr. Michael Rodelnik was Saturday, May 9th, 2026. And it was, I guess, between around 11:20 and around 12. So if I post this, it'll be in stereo if I do it right. Left channel should be the radio, and the right channel should be me taking the call. So if I do it right, it should be in stereo. And, fair use. I claim fair use because it's just commentary and whatnot, criticism, news reporting, research, academic study and research. So it's just a fair use clip of Open Line Live. Astute listeners will note that there's been a little bit of friction, a little bit of misunderstanding about things, but I'm not trying to give them guys any headache. I'm trying to compare notes and let iron sharpen iron. So misunderstandings notwithstanding, no pun intended. I'm just trying to call in my Bible question answered, and as Pat Albert would say, everyone can learn from everyone, and we'll all get smarter afterwards. Is that what he said? Okay. So this is the commentary, the editor's note, the verbal editor's note at the end of the phone call to keep catch up listeners in case there was a little confusion. I called in to ask the question. Is my answer correct? I wasn't making commentary, I was asking the question. Is my answer correct that Hebrews 9:27 gives the answer to the babies that are in the tribulation under the age of accountability when rapture time hits? Not saved, not lost, but a non-final judgment, an investigative judgment. Hebrews 9:27 increases, not premen, as in Hebrews 6:2. So maybe the millennium, maybe not guaranteed, but not definitely not prohibited, as some people have said falsely, I believe. They just make up stuff instead of reading what it says. So in any event, editor-in-chief of the Register and political and religious editor Ward Wayne Watts, reporting live from Plant City, and it's a wrap. Thank you for listening, watching, following, and reading.
Is there a better way to stand firm in our world today? So today, our guest, the title of the book is...